It was the WAF, Women's Auxiliary Air Force. It was the WAF, not using typewriters, nor mops, nor buckets, nor saucepans, nor pot brushes, but holding a ceremonial parade. They had a band. They even had a girl who had been taught to imitate the antics of a peacetime drum major in the regular army. It is not, to my mind, the prettiest exercise in the world for the female body, but I must say she was doing it very well. You could see what endless pains and time had gone to her training. But at that moment, my telephone rang. It was a call from W. W is a man who works very long hours in a most necessary profession. The scantiness of his leisure and the rarity of his enjoyments gives a certain sacrosanctity to all one's engagements with him. That is why I have had an evening with him on the first Wednesday of every month for more years than I can remember. It is the law of the Medes and Persians. He had rung up to say that he wouldn't be able to come this Wednesday. He is in the Home Guard, and his platoon were all being turned out that evening, all after their day's work, to practice ceremonial slow marching. "What about Friday?" I asked. "No good. They were being paraded on Friday evening for compulsory attendance at a lecture on European affairs." "At least," said I, "I'll see you at church on Sunday evening." "Not a bit of it. His platoon, I happen to know that W is the only Christian it contains, were being marched off to a different church, 2 miles away, a church to which W has the strongest doctrinal objections." "But look here," I asked in my exasperation, "what the blazes has all this tomfoolery got to do with the purposes for which you originally joined the old LDV? W, however, had rung off. The final blow fell that evening in common room. An influential person was present, and I'm almost sure I heard him say, "Of course we shall retain some kind of conscription after the war, but it won't necessarily have anything to do with the fighting services." It was then that I stole away to bed and had my dream. I dreamed that a number of us bought a ship and hired a crew and captain and went to sea. We called her the State, and a great storm arose and she began to make heavy weather of it, till at last there came a cry, "All hands to the pumps, owners and all." We had too much sense to disobey the call, and in less time than it takes to write the words, we had all turned out and allowed ourselves to be formed into squads at the pumps. Several emergency petty officers were appointed to teach us our work and keep us at it. In my dream I did not, even at the outset, greatly care for the look of some of these gentry, but at such a moment, the ship being nearly under, who could attend to a trifle like that? And we worked day and night at the pumps, and very hard work we found it, and by the mercy of God we kept her afloat and kept her head on to it till presently the weather improved. I don't think that any of us expected the pumping squads to be dismissed there and then. We knew that the storm might not be really over, and it was as well to be prepared for anything. We didn't even grumble, or not much, when we found that parades were to be no fewer. What did break our hearts were the things the petty officers now began to do to us when they had us on parade. They taught us nothing about pumping or handling a rope, or indeed anything that might help to save their lives or ours. Either there was nothing more to learn, or the petty officers did not know it. They began to teach us all sorts of things: the history of shipbuilding, the habits of mermaids, how to dance the hornpipe and play the penny whistle and chew tobacco. For by this time, the emergency petty...